This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد My dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we ask for His forgiveness. We should all praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us all to be gathered here together. We just performed the Salatul Maghrib together in Jama'ah. This is a great blessing, a great ni'mah as it is, subhanallah. You know, and also this is a great blessing that we are here, restarted the Tuesday night talks, alhamdulillah, after this pandemic. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us all safe. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward each and every one of us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us like we are gathered here, but in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. As you already know, the topic for today is, are we connected or disconnected? Now this is a topic that is about our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are we connected to Allah or are we disconnected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that is a question that we can ask ourselves and try to answer ourselves. And to begin this talk, I wanted to start with a very beautiful story. Whenever I hear this story, or whenever I read this story, I still get goosebumps, subhanAllah, because of how beautiful this story is. It's a story about Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah. And he narrates this story. Now, at the time of Imam Ahmad, he was a very, very famous scholar. This is at the peak of his life. And even today, subhanAllah, we learn so many lessons from Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. We take a lot of fiqh matters and fiqh laws from Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah. And at the peak of his life, almost every Muslim household knew Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. But they knew of his name, they knew of his work, but they didn't know how he looked like. I mean, they never had TV, they never had computers, no Facebook or anything like that back then. No one knew how everyone looked like, except for the people around his locality. They knew, of course, what Imam Ahmad looked like. They used to see him on a daily basis. But there was a time where Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, he traveled to Bilad al-Sham. And he traveled there to gain knowledge. You know, subhanAllah, today we have knowledge in our fingertips, on our palm of our hands. Back then, people used to travel so far distance for even one hadith, subhanAllah. So he traveled to Bilad al-Sham alone. A very humble man he was. He never had an entourage with him. He traveled alone. And he came across a masjid. And it was late at night, early morning, and he decided to rest at that masjid. So he went inside and he found an area of a masjid and he laid down over there. Put his belongings down and he laid down. Now the hadith of the masjid, the guard of the masjid, he noticed there was someone inside. And he went to him. He didn't know he was speaking to Imam Ahmad. And he said to him that the masjid is closed, you need to leave. In a very rude way, in a very harsh way. And Imam Ahmad, he replied, he said, where am I going to go? I don't have a place to go, I'm a traveler. And I wanted to just have a rest over here. But then the guard said, no, the masjid is closed, you need to leave. So the Imam Ahmad picked up his luggage, whatever he had, and he went outside. And then he found it in the corridor of the masjid, he decided to lay down and sleep over there. The guard came again and he said, hey, didn't I tell you that the masjid is closed? You need to leave. Imam Ahmad, he replied again. He never said to him, hey, do you know who you're speaking to? I'm Imam Ahmad. No. He said, where am I going to go? I'm a traveler and I just need to stay. I just need to rest here. He got so angry the guard of the masjid, he picked up the leg of Imam Ahmed and dragged him to the middle of the street and threw him there. Can you imagine this? SubhanAllah. He's got no idea who he's dealing with. And then on the other side of the road, there was a bakery. And a baker was already awake. For those of you who know a bit about bakery, he was already awake and he was, you know, kneading the dough and he was getting the dough ready for the next day, morning rush, maybe. And he noticed the commotion outside. So he came outside and he saw Imam Ahmed, not knowing who he is. He went up to this elderly man and he said, "Do you need a place to stay?" So Imam Ahmed, he replied, "Yes, I do." So he said, "I'm already awake, my bakery is right there. Why don't you come to the bakery with me and you can stay there the night?" So Imam Ahmed was very relieved, alhamdulillah. So he went. But subhanallah, something was keeping him awake. Something was keeping him awake. Now as he was sitting there trying to rest, he noticed the baker. The entire time the baker is kneading the dough, putting the dough in the oven, making the dough, the entire time his tongue was moistened with the remembrance of Allah. The entire time. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. The entire time, for a long period of time. And Imam Ahmed is noticing this. And then he asked him a question. He said, "How long have you been in this situation?" Meaning, how long have you been doing this dhikr of Allah? He replied, "I've been doing this for as long as I can remember." And then Imam Ahmed asked him a very interesting question. He said, "What have you gained from this? What benefit have you gained from doing the dhikr of Allah?" The baker, he said, that, "Well, all I can say is that from the dhikr that I have been doing, I believe that every single dua that I have made, of course concerning this world and about him for this world, every dua that I have made has been answered by Allah." And then Imam Ahmed, he was shocked. He said, "Every single dua?" He said, "Every single dua except for one." Except for one. One dua has not been answered. So Imam Ahmed, he asked him, "What is that one?" He said, "An ara al-Imam Ahmed." To get a chance to see Imam Ahmed. And he had no idea he was speaking to Imam Ahmed. Imam Ahmed embraced this man and hugged him. And he said, "Subhanallah, ha huwa Allah, qad ja'aka bi Ahmed, yajurru bi rijlihi ila makhbazik." He said, "Subhanallah, glory be to Allah, this is Allah grabbing the leg of Ahmed, dragging him towards your bakery for your dua to be answered." This is the power of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one really knows about who this baker is, you know, except for the story that we know of. But Allah chooses from amongst His servants. Those who are close to Allah, Allah knows who they are. And because of that incident, we know about this great man who used to remember Allah consistently. And look at the reward of Allah. If you are connected to Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be connected to you. Such a beautiful story. The question is, how much are we connected to Allah? Think about this for a moment. How much are we connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In terms of your dhikr, how much dhikr do we do? Your tasbih, your dua, your salah. How powerful is your salah? How much Quran are you reciting on a daily basis? How much Quran have you memorized? Where is your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Today, if I ask anyone this question, especially amongst the youth, what are you connected to? What is an answer that we get? We are connected to our devices. Wi-Fi. Facebook. Actually, Facebook's getting old now, isn't it? It's Instagram now. Snapchat. What's the new one? TikTok. A very new one, TikTok. This is what we are connected to today. And when we are connected to this, we say, "Hey, we are connected to the world." That is the new trend. Because of all of these distractions around us, we have severed the ties with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have cut that connection with Allah, and we are connecting to the world. SubhanAllah, we are connected to the world, but yet we are disconnected from the one who created the world. And that is very shocking, SubhanAllah. And all of these things that we are connected to is so dangerous on us, our family, our health. And also, it's not safe for many of these applications. Now, of course, you know, being connected through all of these technology, there are benefits out of it too. Of course there are benefits. You know, we have Qur'ans on our phones. We use these platforms to give da'wah. Yes, they are good for us. And especially during this lockdown, the pandemic that we had, you know, the sheikhs, the scholars, they were using these platforms to give da'wah. So they can be used for good, definitely. But most of the time, they are used for evil. They are used for wasting our time. And let's face it, majority, almost all of our youth who are using this, you know, they are using it for the wrong purposes. And that is something that we really need to understand. I'll give you a couple of examples of how dangerous some of these things are. An example of Netflix. Almost every household has something like this. Netflix stand, Tubi, whatever it's called. Most of us have this. And SubhanAllah, almost every movie, almost every TV show that you find on Netflix, an example, is that they have a homosexual character. And that is now becoming a normal part of the society where people are accepting it. So they are brainwashing our minds in order to think, yep, this is okay. This act is okay. That is what is happening. Now, I'm not here to debate about the issue of homosexuality. That's not the topic. But the point that I'm trying to make is that we know Islam, Christianity, Judaism, every major religion, we know the stance that they have about homosexuality. We know this. But what is happening is that it's becoming so normal within our society. Everywhere you look, you'll find people like that. You turn on the television, you'll find every show where there is a character like that. It's so much so that children these days are asking us. And alhamdulillah, I'm a teacher at a school. And students, they ask me this question. They say, what is wrong with a homosexual character? What is wrong with someone who has those tendencies? You know, aren't they born with it? I mean, it's fine. This is what they are asking now, because they are brainwashed to believe it's fine. They are brainwashed to believe that people are born with it. SubhanAllah, because of what they see. These are the dangers of what is available that our kids, not just the kids, even adults, are looking into. So much so that at a certain Muslim school here in Australia, and I'm not going to name the school, but here in Australia, at a certain Muslim school, two students from the same gender has been caught together in the bathroom making out. So it's infiltrating, it's coming into the Muslims now. And now that you may think, yep, these things are not going to happen in our generation, well, think again, because it's coming up, it's creeping in slowly, slowly. There was a case I remember at a certain school that a boy and a girl were caught together, making out somewhere in the corner of the building, a boy and a girl, fine, okay. And one of the teachers, he said, that if I was the father of that boy, you know what, I'll be relieved that he found a girl. I'll be relieved that he found a girl. To that extent. Yani, this is where we are going. SubhanAllah. That is what our children are connected to. That is what we are also connected to. I'll give you another example. TikTok. The dangers of TikTok. I believe, out of all my research about these social media platforms, I believe TikTok is one of the most dangerous. Why? Because it is taking our children, it is taking the Muslims out of their shell to portray themselves online in a manner that they would never do in front of other people. You've probably seen many of the youth doing certain moves and dances and so on out of the blue because of what they see all the time on TikTok. And nowadays, they are getting together, they're doing all of these moves and challenges. There's actual challenges that make our Muslim youth do those challenges, undress themselves in front of the camera, do those moves, you know, immodest moves in front of the camera for the world to see. SubhanAllah. There was a story a sheikh mentioned about a 16-year-old girl. A 16-year-old girl had so many followers on TikTok. She had all of these videos of herself, immodest videos of herself. Muslim girl, 16-year-old. And subhanAllah, what happened was that she had a certain disease and she passed away at the age of 16. Her parents did not want her to be remembered by her videos. So what they did was they contacted TikTok in order to remove those videos. But guess what? Once it's out there, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to them. That's it. They could not delete those videos. And that is the scary part of this. Imagine, now, if we are not monitoring what our children, our youth are doing, then we are in trouble. Imagine what they're putting out there. Imagine the predators online seeing this. So we need to be very, very careful about what we are connected to. And that is why this is something very, very important to understand. And it's not just the kids. Let's look at the adults, for example. Our children, I mean, they resemble their parents. They try to resemble their parents. And they sometimes see what their parents do, so they try to do the same. And I'll give you a few incidents. Try to think of this. This probably happens. Inshallah, it doesn't in your own household. But now imagine at a dinner table. At a dinner table, your family, you know, husband and wife and children. These days in the Muslim family, while they're having dinner, they put the children on a certain table and they place the iPad in front of them and they turn on one of the shows for them to watch. They sit quietly and eat without disturbing the parents. And then you have the husband on one side, he's eating with his device open, and the wife on the other side, she's eating with her device open. What's happening to the family unit? What's happening to the classic days where people used to have dinner together and converse with one another? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is from the Sunnah that he encouraged people to eat in groups, to eat together. Why? Because food brings people together. It brings muhabbah and love together. That is gone today. And that is why there is no connection within the family. If there's no connection within the family, then how can we have connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Husband and wife issues because of these devices and connections of social media that we have. There are so many husband and wife issues. I have myself personally dealt with a couple of them. One case was the husband was complaining that the wife has so many men as friends on Facebook. And she speaks to them. And he was complaining that I don't want her to do that and she's not listening. On the other hand, she complains, hey, why is it okay for him to have all of these ladies on Facebook as her, as his friends? Why can't I have guys for my workplace? And they are complaining, so much so that it actually ended up as a divorce. To that extent, if there's no connection between husband and wife, you really think there's going to be connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is what's happening. It's destroying the family. It's destroying husband and wife. It's destroying siblings. It's destroying your connection with Allah. And that is why this is so scary. There were certain stats that we can find that there was a research done in May 2018 that on average, an Australian between the age of 14 to 24, between the ages of 14 to 24, go on social media 1 hour every day. This is 2018. Okay, so going back 2 years. Now it's probably a little bit more. And they say in the same research, they say that the same ages, 14 to 24, amongst average Australian women, they use social media 2 hours a day. Now that is the study that was done. And then in June 2019, there was a study done that every single day, an average Australian checks his or her phone 84 times or 85 times. You know, when we're bored, what's the first thing that comes into our mind? Take your device out and go through what's who messaged, go through Facebook, go down, scroll down, look at different posts. That's what's happening these days, right? And that's the new norm. That we automatically take our phones out and we scroll down and we look at whatever we want to look at. That has become the new norm. 85 times a day. And in the same study, it said that every day, an average Australian spends time in front of the screen 6.8 hours every day. Now, of course, some of that could be for work purposes. Some of that could be for educational purposes, yes. But a lot of that is trash. We spend time and we connect it to the trash and we leave the treasure. And that's the unfortunate reality of today. 85 times people are checking their phones. How much time do we spend connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now let's look at the difference. We just saw the stats of how much time we spend on connecting with other things. Now look, let's look at how much time we spend with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you combine all of your prayers, your fard prayers I'm talking about, so 2 for Fajr, 4 for Dhuhr, 4 for Asr, 3 for Maghrib, 4 for Isha. If you combine the fard prayers, I don't think it's longer than half an hour. Combined, half an hour combined, your fard prayers. That is how much we are connected with Allah when it comes to Salah. Ask yourself, how much time are you spending in the recitation and understanding of the Quran on a daily basis? Let's look at that for a moment. How much time are we spending on that? How much time are we spending on the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we spending enough time on that? The answer is no. The dua, are we making enough dua on a daily basis? The answer is no. And we need to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraging us to be connected to Him because of His love for us. And I'll give you one hadith. This has been narrated by Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, reported in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so this is hadith Qudsi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when my servant does a good deed, I will multiply that good deed by 10 minimum. And he said, and I will multiply it even more to whomsoever I wish. That is Allah. And then he continues and says, if my servant does a bad deed, I will count it as one sin, not 10, one sin. And I may forgive him if I wish. That is Allah. And then he says, if my servant comes towards me a handspan, I will go towards him an arm's length. That is Allah. And he says that if my servant comes to me an arm's length, I will go to him a fathom's length. That is Allah. And then he says that if my servant comes to me with a mountain of sins, imagine a mountain of sins. And whenever the Prophet uses the word mountain, he mostly refers to the mountain of Uhud. For those of you who've seen mountain of Uhud, it is huge. If my servant comes to me with a mountain of sins, but he does not, or he did not commit shirk, then I will forgive him. That is Allah, the one whom we are so disconnected from. The one who loves us so much. The one who is giving us these opportunities to be connected to Him, but yet we are so far away. The one who is our creator, our maker. The one who is Al-Wadood. Al-Wadood, the most loving one. And yet we are so far away from Him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once with Umar and they were walking. And then they saw this woman. She was frantically running around. She lost her child. She was frantically running around. For those of you who know the experience of losing a child for a moment, it's crazy. I've done it once. It's ridiculous. The things that go through your mind. SubhanAllah. This woman was running around frantically looking for her child. And then she found a child after a little while. She got so happy. She picked up the child and she embraced him. And then later on she fed him. Upon this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Umar, Ya Umar, do you think that that woman could ever throw her child into a pit of fire? And Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, no. A mother can never throw her child into, you know, fire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us more than that mother to her child. That's how much Allah loves us. That's how much Allah cares for us. But yet we are drifting away from Him. And that is the sad reality. Inshallah, I want to give you, myself and all of you, 6 tips of how we can go back and be connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these 6 tips we know of. But sometimes it's good to have these reminders. The first tip, have khushu' in your salah. One of the best ways to connect to Allah is through prayer. It's through salah. There's probably nothing else better than that. But the condition is with khushu'. Why? Because how do we pray? We just perform Salatul Maghrib. If you were to give yourself a mark out of 100 in terms of your khushu', what mark would you give yourself? Answer that yourself. What mark would you give yourself? I'll be very surprised if we score ourselves more than 50. I'll be very surprised. Because in salah, what do? We plan our day. In our salah, what do? We think of how much money we made today. In our salah, what do? We think of what we're going to go home and eat. In salah, what do? We think of what we're going to watch tonight before we sleep. Those are the things that we're thinking during our prayer. And that's how the prayer goes. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, قَدَ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the successful believer. He says, indeed, successful are the believers. Who are they? The first person, Allah says, the first type of people, that when they perform their salah, they perform it with khushu', with devotion, with concentration. That's the meaning of khushu'. And that is something that we need to have. Think about your salah for a moment. Isn't it true that our salah is so robotic and mechanical these days? It's become so robotic and mechanical. Think about it. When you're reciting Suratul Fatiha, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ آمِينَ, automatically without thinking, you will recite one of the shortest surahs. It just comes automatically. إِنَّا عَطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. First rakah gone. Second rakah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. It comes automatically without thinking. It could be another surah that you're doing, but it's automatic. And I'm not saying that don't recite those surahs. Of course, the surahs are great. It's amazing. But we are doing it because our salah has become so robotic. A way to gain this khushu' is change your surahs around. Change your surahs around. You probably memorize a lot of surahs. Use them in your salah. Recite them in your salah. Because then you will concentrate more in your salah. If you know different qira'ats in the recitation, use them. I remember, subhanAllah, funny story. There was a certain masjid, and there was a sheikh who came to visit that area from overseas. And the sheikh, it was a really respected scholar. The locals of the masjid told him to lead the salah. So he led the salah. But he recited in qira'ah Hamza. He recited in qira'ah Hamza. How is the recitation? I'll give you some example. He said, instead of Maliki Yawmiddin, he said Maliki Yawmiddin. So I was young at that time, I'm like, okay, Maliki Yawmiddin, maybe he made a little error. Then he said, Ihdina al-zirat al-mustaqim, zirat al-ladina an'amta alayhum, ghayr al-maghdubi alayhum wa al-dallin. And I was just thinking, what's going on? And I could see from the side of my eye, people are looking at each other, what's happening? Why is he reciting like this? After salah, there was a huge commotion. People were asking him, hey, you led the prayer wrong. I mean, your recitation was wrong. And then he stood up. He was thinking, what's going on? He had no idea that the locals did not know Qira'ah Hamza. But guess what? That made people concentrate. That made people finally concentrate in their prayer. That wasn't the point of why he led that. He just thought people knew it. So he had to, after salah, tell them, like, sorry, I recited Qira'ah Hamza. It's another Qira'at. The Prophet ﷺ was taught this as well. But the point that I'm making is, change a few things around in your salah. What I mean by that is, change your surahs. If you know different qira'ah, learn them, say them. Learn different ayats and surahs of the Qur'an and then read them in your prayer. You will concentrate even more. Make dua in your sujood. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, the closest the servant is to Allah is in prostration. Make dua, change your du'as in your sujood. That will bring the khushu' in your prayer. So that's the first advice. Second advice, dua. Your dua, Think about the last time. And I'm not saying dua in salah separately than that. Of course we do dua in salah. But think about this. When was the last time you raised your hands up to Allah and you cried in front of Allah begging Him for forgiveness, begging Him for Jannah? When was the last time we did that? Let's think about that for a moment. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ فِي الْيَوْمِ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ. He said that every single day I ask forgiveness from Allah 100 times. Was he sinful? Did he commit sins? No. His past, present and future sins were forgiven. Now imagine the Prophet doing that. What about us? We cannot count the sins. That is how much we commit on a daily basis. Umar radiallahu anhu, he says this all the time. حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Account yourself before you are held accountable. Make dua to Allah, ask istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is something we need to do on a consistent basis. Umar radiallahu anhu, a martyr man that he was known for. But when it came to him being connected to Allah, he was so soft. His beard used to become wet with the tears when he would make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about us? When was the last time our beards were wet? Probably in wudu. But with our tears, when? But in our tears, when? So that is a question that we need to ask ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. He said, when my servant asks about me, oh Muhammad, tell them that I am near to them. I am close to them. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانْ. I will answer their dua if they ask from me. I will answer it. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to consistently ask dua. Number three is tasbih. When was the last time we sat down and we did tasbih? Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. When was the last time we did tasbih to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now tasbih may seem very small, and it may seem insignificant because of how small it is. But in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dhikr of Allah and the tasbih weighs heavy on the scale. Weighs very heavy on the scale. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gives us this example in a hadith. He said, كلمتان خفيفة على اللسان ثقيلة في الميزان حبيبة إلى الرحمن سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there are two phrases that are so light on the tongue, but they are heavy on the scale. And that is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are they? Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. How long did it take me? 3 or 4 seconds. That's it. Some of us will think, yeah, but is that going to get us a lot? Yes, it will. And the Prophet gives us an example. He said, on the day of judgment, a man will be brought forward. And not just a man. Many people will be like this. A man will be brought forward in front of Allah, being judged. And Allah will ask the angels to bring the book of bad deeds. The man will see mountains of bad deeds coming towards his way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question him about that. And every time he is answering, he's thinking, that's it, I'm doomed, I'm doomed, I'm doomed. And then Allah will say to the angel, bring his book of good deeds. The man will see a very small paper or scroll that says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That's it. And he's going to see that and he's going to think, what is that going to do as compared to the mountain of sins? And Allah will ask the angel to place that on the other side of the scale. All of a sudden, that La ilaha illallah will outweigh the mountain of sins. And he will be forgiven and he will be admitted into paradise. That is the power of tasbih. That is the power of saying La ilaha illallah. Every time you say Subhanallah, you are planting yourself a tree in paradise. Your estate in paradise is getting bigger and bigger. Your garden is becoming huge in paradise. So never think of tasbih as something insignificant. It is worth a lot. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he emphasized this a lot. And a lot of people take advantage of this. They say, hey, alright, if La ilaha illallah gives me so much, you know what I'll do? I will say La ilaha illallah before I die. I will do all the sins that I want to do, and just before I die, I will say La ilaha illallah. A lot of people have these thoughts. But subhanallah, you will only remember to say La ilaha illallah if you live La ilaha illallah. And the scholars have said this. Just imagine yourself, and I've said this many times before, imagine yourself, you're walking in the street and all of a sudden a thorn pricks your leg or something drops on your feet. What are the first words that come out of your mouth? Oh, sugar, hopefully. But swear words come out of our mouth. Do we ever think of Allah then? Do we ever say astaghfirullah, a'udhu billah, or anything like that? No. Imagine the pains and agony of death. Will you remember to say La ilaha illallah then? But if you live La ilaha illallah, then you will say La ilaha illallah. A sheikh mentioned in a story that a man was dying and there were songs playing in the house. And the songs was by a woman by the name of Kulthum from Egypt. And he was listening to that. And then all of a sudden a sheikh came to visit him. And he was really stunned, this dying man, and there's music playing. And then he asked the family, he said, what's wrong with you? Your father's dying, put Quran on at least. So they felt ashamed and they put Quran on. As soon as they put Quran on, the dying man, he got angry and he said, put back Kulthum because she soothed my heart. SubhanAllah. So if you live that way, you might die that way. So let's think about the way we are living and let's connect back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four, istighfar. We touched upon it a little bit earlier. But when was the last time we made istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And as I mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that I make istighfar 100 times a day. In another hadith, more than 70 times a day. So while we are driving, while we are alone, while we are bored, let's think of doing istighfar and tasbih in general. Because usually what we hear in the radio, we put on some music in the car, let's change that. And when we're bored, let's remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during that time. Number five, the recitation of the Quran. Think about us. Do we recite the Quran on a daily basis? Leave salah aside. Other than salah, do we open up the Quran and read on a daily basis? Do we try to understand the meaning of the Quran? Let's think about that for a moment. Because the Quran is the kalam of Allah. The Quran are the words of Allah. If you want to be connected to Allah, then read His words. Because that is the guide to your life. And subhanAllah, with the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us so much reward for it. Every letter that you recite is 10 hasanat. 10 hasanat. And he says in a hadith, I'm not saying alif lam mim is one letter. Alif is a harf, lam is a harf, mim is a harf, which means you get 30 hasanat just by saying alif lam mim. Try to count qul huwallahu ahad, the entire surah, the amount of letters that is there. Try to count qul huwallahu ahad 3 times if you recite it, because that is equivalent to you reciting the whole Quran, the reward of it. Think about the reward there. You can't calculate it. The calculator will not be able to do the math. SubhanAllah. That is the amount of reward Allah is giving us if we remember Him through His words. And wallahi, brothers, a beautiful thing that I witnessed. A beautiful thing that I witnessed. A man that worked with me, a sheikh in my school, Sheikh Bashir Khan, I'm going to name him as well. He is so close to Allah when it comes to the Quran. SubhanAllah, I remember he broke his leg at school. You know, he was playing soccer and all of a sudden he got tackled. He broke his leg, both bones. And then we had to take him to the hospital. And while he was in the hospital, the nurses came and they said, hey, we have to give him partial anesthetics because we need to put the leg in place to plaster it first. And before that happened, another person in front of us, he got the partial anesthetics because his shoulder was out of place. They had to put it back. And to do that, it's very painful. So they give partial anesthetic. And when that happened to that person, he was high. He was high and he was saying things that he doesn't remember. And he was saying to the nurse things that he shouldn't be saying, right? And his mother was video recording him. She found it very funny. And the sheikh next to me is like, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to go through that. What am I going to say? SubhanAllah, I was there and they gave him the partial anesthetic. Wallahi al-azim. The entire time they were straightening his leg, his eyes were closed, his finger is up, and he's reciting Quran. Wallahi al-azim. His finger is up and he's reciting Quran the entire time. And he doesn't remember any of it. And what was amazing was the nurse came up to him, right to his face, and she's looking. And then she looked at me and then she said, "What is he saying?" And then I said, "Well, he's reciting the Quran, which is the book of the Muslims to follow, the book of Allah. And we follow this just like the Christians have their Bible, you know, we have our Quran." She said, "This is amazing. I have never seen something like this. The guy is giving da'wah while he's unconscious." SubhanAllah. Think about that for a moment. So imagine when we're in the agony of death, being conscious and unconscious, what are we going to say then? Going back to that, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from that. Lastly, last point. And this is the hardest. And that is to connect yourself with Allah through tahajjud prayer. Specifically tahajjud prayer. And that's the hardest to do. All the others are okay. You just need to spend a bit of time. But getting up in the morning is very tough. But yet the most rewarding. Why? Because at that time, everyone else is asleep. And it is you alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and Allah. See, in the masjid, when we perform the prayers, I'm not putting down the regular salah, but when you're performing the prayers, people are next to you. So sometimes the thought of, you know, people watching me, others are watching me, and sometimes, you know, when you're standing next to your potential father-in-law, you want to pray perfectly well for him to, you know, give his daughter to you. I don't know. But subhanAllah, think about it, right? You are alone with Allah in tahajjud. That shows sincerity. That shows true belief and true worship. And there are so many ahadith, but one I want to mention, and this has been reported to us, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he saw a dream once. In the dream, he was in paradise. And he said that I was going around paradise holding a cloth of silk flying around with me. And then he said, I saw two angels coming towards me in a harsh manner. And they wanted to grab me and take me to hellfire. So he said, I got really scared. And then another angel appeared and told me, don't worry, you're safe. And went to those two angels, you go away. And he said, I woke up. And he was quite afraid. And then he told Hafsa radiallahu anha about the dream. Hafsa reported it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whereupon he said, Abdullah ibn Umar is a great man, but he would be even greater if he performed his tahajjud prayers. Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, from that day onwards, I never left my tahajjud prayer. SubhanAllah. That was a sign for him, in order to become more closer and connected to Allah, then do your tahajjud. That's the level that he was on. So inshallah ta'ala, we ask Allah to put us on that level as well. With this, my brothers and my sisters, with this, if you do it on a daily basis, small change in your life, small part of your life has to change. Spend a bit more time in the remembrance of Allah in these ways, wallahi, your life will change. And you will be so connected with Allah, and Allah will be connected to you. And you will see your du'as being fulfilled. Going back to the first story. Your du'as being fulfilled. If your du'as are being fulfilled in this world, then definitely your du'a will be fulfilled in the akhirah. And definitely will be amongst the people of Jannatul Firdaus. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us all achieve connection with Him, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of our sins and to forgive us for being so disconnected with Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless each and every one of us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us like we are gathered here, but in Jannatul Firdaus. Jazakumullahu khair. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you for coming today. MashaAllah, the numbers are increasing now. You know, and I hope that inshaAllah, maybe from next week onwards, we'll even get more and more people inshaAllah. And we'll become more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khair. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.